Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Show, where we talk about health tips and strategies to help you be smart, sexy, and strong. On today's show, I have as my guest, Beth Gillespie. Beth is a certified nutrition consultant and active member of the National Association of Nutrition Professionals. Beth is known as an expert in the field of nutrition, serving both healthcare practitioners and their patients. Her own burnout at the age of 30 was the catalyst that drove her from the telecommunications industry to becoming a student of nutrition. Beth studied at the Bowman College in Santa Cruz, California to receive her nutrition consultant certification and completed her Master's of Science in Human Nutrition at the University of Bridgeport. She attends nutrition and functional medicine conferences on a regular basis to stay on top of the latest research in this exciting field and to share her knowledge with her clients. Beth is inspired by her own quest for optimal health and shares her passion with anyone that is ready to make a change for a more energized life. On today's show, we talk about detoxification, how and why it's important, signs that your body is struggling with detoxification, how to avoid the most common toxic exposures, and how to safely and effectively enhance your detoxification pathways so you can look and feel your best. So please enjoy the show. Today I'm interviewing Beth Gillespie. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. It's an honor.
Yeah, today we're talking about detoxification. There's a lot of talk about detoxification. People are saying, you know, talking about cleanses and I need to detox. And so I think it's important for us to talk about what exactly does that mean? Because I think there's a lot of information on the online and the media about this, and let's make sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah, I agree. It gets pretty complicated when people think of detoxification. Often you mention detoxification and people immediately think of detoxification from alcohol or drugs, or they might think of a water fast or a juice cleanse, or even a really harsh colon cleanse. But really, the word detoxification simply refers to our metabolic pathways in which cells take very, you know, toxic substances and transform them really into relatively harmless compounds that are then excreted either through the urine or the bile. And it's really important to note that a lot of these toxic substances have a high affinity for fat. They're fat soluble. So if they're not detoxified or excreted properly, they actually love to hide out in high fat tissues. So in other words, they get stuck in our fat. It's funny because I think a lot of us have been studying the detoxification and the different phases of detoxification for many years now, but it's actually becoming more mainstream as more research and study is going into detoxification. What I love about detoxification is that it's so scientifically based, and we know that the body uses a two-phase detoxification system to get rid, you know, of these harmful substances. So basically what it does is in phase one, it actually takes these harmful substances and converts them into more water-soluble compounds that are then either, you know, excreted through the kidneys right away, or if they can't be excreted through the kidneys, then they're transported through the blood to the liver. And then in phase two, the liver actually takes these compounds, these kind of more water-soluble compounds now, transforms them into these relatively harmless compounds that are then, you know, excreted again, you know, through the kidneys or the bile, and then excreted through the GI tract.
Yeah, so it is amazing that our bodies have these pathways naturally. So it's great that to have that information to know that that does happen. The thing is that some people might be wondering, what is a harmful substance? What is she talking about, these harmful substances? How are we exposed to these things on a regular basis?
Yeah, you know, we're it's pretty unfortunate, but where it's no secret that the amount of environmental toxins increases drastically each decade, and well over 80,000 chemicals are registered, with the EPA right now. And so we're exposed on a daily basis to pesticides, herbicides, chemical solvents, industrial chemicals that are in our air, our food, in our water. And, to kind of bring that down to, okay, what does that really mean? Some common examples would be, for example, phthalates and parabens that are found in your skincare products, like shampoos and skin lotions and cosmetics. Those are very, very common, and they do have very weak estrogenic activity. So they can contribute to disruption of the endocrine system or hormonal imbalance. What we call BPA or bisphenol, it stands for bisphenol A, these are very common, and we're exposed to these all the time because they're found in plastic water bottles. They're found in the food lining of cans, and also even in thermal receipts. So when we touch a receipt after we go to the store, they're found there too. So very, very common exposure. And these actually have even more estrogenic activity, so can really, really disrupt the endocrine system if we're overexposed or if we're not detoxifying these BPAs, very well. So those are just a couple of examples. And then in a whole nother family of chemicals that are called persistent organic pollutants, or a lot of people just like to call them POPs, are the what we call PCBs, which are actually very, very fat soluble and love to hide out in our fat, as I was mentioning before. And these are really, really tough ones to excrete. And they're actually found in concentrated amounts in dairy, meats, and fish. In fact, a study done, I think it was about probably 5 to 10 years ago now, found that farm-raised salmon actually has 40 times more PCBs than wild fish. And this is just because of the PCBs that are actually found in the fish meal that they're fed and the fish oil that they're fed. And then of course, it concentrates in the fat of the salmon. So yeah, a lot of exposure there. And then, and those are just, some of the more dangerous chemicals. But then even on a daily basis, I mean, not to mention the additives and the preservatives, that are found in a lot of processed foods. We're eating more sugar than ever before in human history. And sugar, not only doesn't have much nutritional value, if any at all, but it actually depletes really important vitamins and minerals that are, critical to the detoxification process, like the B vitamins. And then, of course, we're exposed to, overuse of caffeine, which, the liver, has to process caffeine. And some people do detoxify caffeine better than others, but it can be problematic if overused. Of course, alcohol, is something that's pretty hard on the liver, and the liver has to detoxify. And over-the-counter drugs deplete nutrients. Prescription drugs can deplete nutrients. Like, for example, it's really well known that statin drugs deplete coenzyme Q10, that oral contraceptives deplete B vitamins like folic acid. So these are all, exposures that a lot of us, have on a daily basis.
Right. And yeah, there are so many in our air, water, food, personal care products, and some of the ones you've touched on, maybe people have heard about in the media. And then some of the things you talked about are foods that are commonly eaten. And it's interesting that you're talking about these as toxins, because they are, they do interfere with our body's natural processes and interfere with nutrient absorption. And it's some of these things, small amounts, not the end of the world, right? But the problem is, is that we get so much of it. And so, like we talked about, our body is able, has these great detoxification pathways. So let's start, what's the problem then? Why don't we just let that be? And why do we need to do cleanse programs and things like that?
Well, yeah, and that's a good question. And I've actually been asked that question, you know, by my clients, like, well, you know, if everything is working properly, you know, then why do I need to do this? But, you know, what happens over time is that we can actually accumulate a buildup of toxins, and especially if we're not detoxifying properly. And this can happen, like, for example, just overexposure. You know, sometimes people they're overexposed to a toxin, like mercury, for example, and they don't even know it. You know, they're not clued in to the fact that they might have an overload of mercury. So that can definitely happen. And as I mentioned before, a lot of these nasty, I like to call them the nasty toxins, you know, are fat soluble. So they do get, if we're not detoxifying, then they do get stuck in our fat, and that causes all kinds of problems, which, you know, we can talk about. And then, you know, what happens is when people are not getting all of their nutrients, for example, let's say somebody, you know, is not getting a whole lot of B vitamins in their diet. Well, B vitamins are so critical to that phase one detoxification process that I was talking about. So even, you know, just a deficiency of B vitamins can cause somebody not to detoxify optimally. A deficiency of amino acids. The amino acids are so, so critical to that phase two liver detoxification that I was talking about earlier. Without those amino acids, if you're running a deficiency of amino acids, not getting enough protein in your diet, or you're not breaking down your proteins, like maybe you're getting protein in your diet, but you're not breaking down your proteins into peptides and amino acids because maybe poor digestion, then, you know, you're not going to be able to support those, you know, really critical detoxification pathways that are involved in that phase two. So, you know, these are all things that we have to think about. Nutritional status, is that person missing very critical nutrients needed for the detoxification process? Also, you know, just genetically, sometimes people have what we call genetic variations that kind of inhibit their ability to detoxify. And thankfully, you know, technology, science has caught up that we can actually test those things now, which is so cool, and then really use targeted nutrient supplementation to work around that.
Yeah, you brought up some great points there. The last one you just talked about was genetics. And
yeah,
one of the great things that we know now also is that we're not stuck with our genes, right? We can, based upon our lifestyle choices and nutrients and various things like that, we can change the genetic expression, the way that our genes are expressed, right? So we're not just stuck with that. Just because we might do a genetic test and find that we have limitations with our with our detoxification pathways, but that doesn't mean that we're stuck with it. That just means we need a little extra support, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's the great thing about genetic testing is that we have a lot of solutions now to help people. And I would hate to think that we're just stuck with what we have. We need to be able to support, you know, offer people solutions, or else genetic testing doesn't do us much good.
Right. And that is something that concerns people about genetic testing, is why would we bother doing genetic testing if we can't do anything about it? But again, we do know that with a lot of these things, we can change the way our genes are expressed. Another thing that you touched on, you talked about different types of chemicals and how some of them are stored up in our fat. And I just want to call upon that, because I feel like that is something that is important for people to realize, that there are certain chemicals that our body can process pretty easily, but there's certain ones, like heavy metals, like mercury you mentioned, that our body isn't able to clear out very well. And one of the things that I've noticed is that when we get this soup of toxins, so we get some pesticides, we get PCBs, we get phthalates and all some of these and heavy metals, and then they combine together, our body just is overwhelmed. And get to that point, right?
And that's absolutely kind of what you're talking about.
So for some people, based upon your exposure, it can be, you know, if you have a pretty hefty exposure, that can be a big part of it too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hefty exposure, lack of, you know, adequate nutrients. Also, another thing is, you know, gut, a lot of people say, well, detoxification begins in the gut. But even gut issues, which often manifest in us having very unbalanced bacteria in the gut. So we might have more of those unfriendly bacteria running around than the friendly bacteria. You know, it's often called gut dysbiosis. But, you know, what that means is that these unfriendly bacteria are producing a lot of ammonia because they secrete toxins too. And guess, you know, the liver has to process and, you know, deal with the ammonia, because obviously we can't, you know, have a buildup of ammonia because that's deadly. So gut dysbiosis, having, you know, problems with digestion, that type of thing can even affect our ability to detoxify.
So what are some of the things that people experience if they get to that point of high toxin overload?
So, you know, there's a lot of different symptoms, and of course the symptoms can also be symptoms of other things going on, but some of the most common symptoms of toxic burden or toxic overload are when people become more increasingly sensitive to their environment, like they smells, like they can't be anywhere within a mile of somebody that's, you know, wearing a perfume. They just become more and more sensitive to chemicals, to odors. They, you know, break out in rashes more often. Fatigue, just feeling really tired and weak, even muscle weakness can be associated with, you know, signs of toxic overload. Also, things like just mood swings, you know, mood issues and recurrent headaches, frequent colds. Those are all, you know, some of the things that can point to toxic overload.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
It seems like to me that there are so many symptoms and conditions that can be related to toxic overload. It affects so many of us.
Yeah, it does. And then, you know, when your liver, like if your liver is really in a lot of trouble, that's when, you know, you can actually see, you know, yellow discoloration of the eyes, or you might see brown spots on your skin, which are often called liver spots, or even very itchy skin, kind of a flushed facial experience too. That's something that can happen when the liver is in a lot of trouble. And then, of course, just inability to digest fats. So those are signs and symptoms when the liver is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. So how does someone know if they're not able to digest fats?
Well, you know, there's first of all, they might feel very, very uncomfortable, you know, after they eat kind of a, you know, a meal that's higher in fats. They might feel this very, very full and uncomfortable. Also, you know, when they have a bowel movement, they might notice that their stools are actually greasy looking. And, you know, we can get a lot of information from our stools. And just by, you know, seeing greasy stools, that could be, you know, a heads up that you're not digesting fats very well. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Those are all good signs for people to look for. You know, there's so many different underlying causes that we've talked about too that can interfere with detoxification. How does someone know, besides the symptoms that they might have, how might they know what are the toxins that they're exposed to toxins and that this is affecting their health? What are some things that people can do to really discover that?
Well, people can, you know, luckily we do have, you know, a lot of testing available now. And so, for example, if they want to discover more about that, there is, you know, genetic testing they can do. If they're looking to see how well they detoxify, there's actually urine tests now that can look at metabolites of liver function. You know, it's basically just an easy urine test that you do, and it helps, looks at these metabolites that help assess how well your liver is functioning. So that's a very easy test that people can do. And then people can look, you know, sometimes people are more curious about, well, have I been exposed? And for exposure, there's blood tests that people can do to look for, you know, more acute type of toxicity, you know, something like a very recent exposure. Or, you know, people can even do hair analysis. Hair analysis you know, there's always, you know, been some debate over her analysis, but one thing that it does indicate is exposure. And whether it's recent or long-term, it's probably more likely long-term, but at least it can indicate exposure. It doesn't really necessarily tell us if there's a current toxic buildup in the body. Maybe your, you know, body is just really good and it happens through the hair. But it is, you know, it indicates exposure. So those are some good ways to, you know, assess toxic buildup. Do you find that too?
Yeah, I don't generally do hair analysis testing in my practice because of that, because it doesn't really tell us what's stored in the body. Because I feel like that is important information. Now, what we're exposed to is also important information because then we need to look at our environment. Why do we have these exposures and how we can reduce those, right?
Exactly. It's really funny. I'm working with a client who came to me with all kinds of digestive issues and almost like fibromyalgia type symptoms, a lot of muscle pain. And really interesting, we did a urine test with her, really actually more gut stuff in this organic acids test that I did with her. But what we found was very interesting. We found metabolites of actually benzene. And we finally figured out that she was being exposed to a lot of benzene in her home because her husband is an antique collector, and benzene, you know, is found in like paint thinners and solvents. And so they just had a lot of that in their house. And sure enough, they had their air quality tested and it came up very, very high in benzene. So, you know, then we had to look at, well, okay, what do we do now? And, you know, if besides moving out of your home, what are some other options? You know, what are some other nutrients we can recommend to help, you know, bind that? So it's really interesting what comes up for people. And sometimes when you're not even looking for it, when you're looking for something else. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I used to do consults where I come to people's homes and actually look around their homes and help them figure out if they had mold exposures or what toxins that might be particularly an issue in their home. So I came across all kinds of interesting things that people wouldn't necessarily think of. I don't do that anymore, but it was interesting. It's just very time consuming to go through because there's so many different possible exposures in our homes. And I think the thing is, though, is that people just do their best to take simple steps to keep their air clean, to keep their water clean, to choose organic foods and things like that to reduce their overall exposure. And then they develop symptoms, then take a closer look. What is going on? Why am I sick? And what might be the possible exposures with that? And then improve our detoxification pathways like we're talking about today. So let's talk about how you detoxify safely. What are some things you recommend for people to make sure that they're improving their detoxification pathways in a safe way? Because we know that it can be, we can deplete our bodies too if we do a very extreme detoxification or program.
Yeah. And you know, it's, I really think it's important that people see either, you know, a qualified practitioner before embarking on a detoxification program, because things to really look at are, you know, definitely adequate nutrients, very, very important. Because if you decide to do, let's say you're not, you know, extremely healthy, and you decide, well, you want to get healthy and you want to do a 1 week juice cleanse, but you're already coming in with a little bit of a deficit when it comes to adequate vitamins and minerals and other nutrients that support those detoxification pathways, and then you go on a 1 week juice fast, you could actually create more harm than good because you're not getting those nutrients to support the detoxification. So you're starting to dump a lot of toxins while you're drinking all of these juices, but in the meantime, you're not supporting those detoxification pathways to get those toxins out of the body. So they can actually be recirculated back into the bloodstream, which is exactly what you don't want, and cause you to feel even worse. So it's really, really important that people, when they're doing a detoxification program, are getting plenty of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, you know, those critical amino acids that support those detoxification pathways, that it is nutrient dense, very, very important. And that they are doing it slowly because either the last thing you want to do is have somebody dump like tons and tons of mercury or PCBs without adequate detoxification support. So I think that's really, really important. And I have known people that have done crazy things like water fast and they really got sick from it. They actually put themselves into a serious state of sickness, disease. So we have to be very careful. But on the other hand, I think, you know, if people are just focusing on getting those whole foods that they need, very specific targeted nutrients. I like to use very specific amino acids like glycine and taurine and L-glutamine and anything that can, and acetylcysteine, to really support those detoxification pathways. Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that. And I do think that juice fast can be good.
Yes, absolutely.
I do a juice fast once a year, but I only do it when I feel like I'm in a good place to do it. And I only recommend it to certain patients of mine that I feel like are not already depleted. So I agree with what you're saying. I just want to add to that, that, and I imagine you agree too, that there are times when a juice fast, a well-designed juice fast, is there certainly different ones out there, but a well-designed one can be beneficial for people, but it's not for everyone.
No, and I do agree with you, Dr. Cates. I think that, you know, short-term juice fasts can be really beneficial to folks that are, you know, in a pretty healthy state, or sometimes even folks that are having a lot of digestive issues. They can process, you know, quickly, and they can take, even if they really need to, like an amino acid powder on the side. So yes, it can be very, very beneficial. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for people with having a hard time digesting food.
Great.
Yeah.
And then this, I do think that there is a lot of complexity to doing, maybe not a lot, but there is some complexity to doing a cleanse program or a detoxification program. And then they do need to be well planned, well thought out. I think what a well-designed one is so powerful. It really can help people. I've seen this over and over again in my practice over the last 15 years, and that's why I do it a lot with patients. I also think that it's important to realize that detoxification continues to happen on a daily basis, right? So we don't need to just rely upon a program, but daily things that we can do to help support our detoxification pathways. When you agree?
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. And there's so many small little things that people can do on a daily basis to really support that. For example, you can just so easily, you know, decrease your exposure to pesticides, for example, by just choosing to buy certain fruits and vegetables organic. And that's really easy. The Environmental Working Group has a great list called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So that maybe for people who live in areas where buying organic produce is not quite as easy, or they're on a budget, they can at least choose which fruits and vegetables are, you know, that they really need to buy organic, and ones that maybe are not quite as important to buy organic. And just by doing that, you know, they can decrease their exposure to pesticides, which is really, really important. And then another thing that people can do that's really simple, really easy, and decrease their exposure to BPA or bisphenol A is simply change out their plastic water bottle to a glass bottle or a stainless steel bottle. That's something really easy that people can do, and I recommend all the time. And skincare, you know, if they want to decrease their exposure to parabens, you know, it's hard to change out all of your shampoos and all of your skincare products and all of your cosmetics at once. But what I recommend is, like, well, just slowly start changing them out one by one. And that will definitely decrease your exposure to parabens, which, again, can be really powerful endocrine disruptors if we're using them in high amounts or overexposed to them or not detoxifying them. So there's, again, the Environmental Working Group has a great database called Skin Deep, and people can go there to kind of rate cosmetics, like which have, you know, more of the chemicals, which have least of the chemicals. So that's a really good resource too. I like that resource. And then even just, you know, changing out some of your processed foods to whole foods, you know, you'll minimize like additives and coloring. So even just starting to eat more whole foods is very, very, very beneficial. And, you know, to one thing I steer people away from farm salmon. You know, a salmon is huge and people love salmon and, you know, it is a healthy food when it's wild, but again, when it's farmed, it can be really loaded with those PCBs. So if somebody is currently eating farm salmon, I, you know, have them switch over to wild salmon. So those are just some really easy things. And one thing that's kind of interesting that I recently learned was there was a study that was done that, you know, I had talked about before that BPA is actually found in receipts. So when you go to the store and they give you a receipt, when you touch that receipt, your skin is being exposed to BPA. Well, they found in this study that when people used a hand sanitizer before touching a receipt, it increased the absorption of the BPA 100-fold. I mean, that's crazy, but it makes sense because it's opening up the skin pores. So they didn't do a test on skin creams, but skin creams would do probably the exact same thing. And, you know, during cold and flu season, a lot of grocery stores have hand sanitizers, right? Because, you know, people want to use them before they touch the grocery store because they don't want to, you know, pick up a bug. And then, of course, they check out and they touch a receipt. So, you know, these are just, you know, even just by maybe, you know, not touching the receipt or having a little Kleenex to touch the receipt or not using the hand sanitizer, you know, that can greatly decrease your exposure to BPA.
Yeah, and the hand sanitizers themselves have triclosan, yeah. Which we know yes. is not good for us as well. Another
yeah,
animal. Yeah. So these are some great tools. Now, what about foods that people should be eating, nutrients that they can be getting on a daily basis that help with our daily detoxification?
Well, you know, there's just so many, but you know, just we really want to make sure that we're getting plenty of antioxidants because those are very important in the detoxification process. So lots of fruits and vegetables, very, very, very important. And also there's a certain class of vegetables called the cruciferous vegetables that are found like in your kale and broccoli and cauliflower. Let's see, what else? A lot of those vegetables. But cabbage, that's another one. But these cruciferous vegetables actually help support certain detoxification pathways, like our sulfation pathway and glucuronidation, and very, very important in helping to detoxify substances, and also especially estrogenic metabolites. So they can even help balance our hormones. So those are a very important class of foods. That I, you know, highly recommend for people for detoxification. Also, you know, they say the more bitter, the better for the liver, because it really helps stimulate the liver to produce more bile and helps with bile flow. And of course, you know, we need that bile to eliminate toxins from the body and also to digest fats. So, you know, some things, you know, including more bitter foods into the diet. I think it's very, very important, like maybe including a little radicchio lettuce, you know, with your normal spinach or mixed baby greens. That can be very, very helpful. Chicorée is another very bitter lettuce. Dandelion greens are very bitter. And, you know, if you're not used to the taste of bitter, I wouldn't recommend just going out and washing them and trying to eat them raw. You might want to mix them in with a salad, you know, greens that you normally use. Or you could even do like a light, you know, stir fry or saute, I should say, with some olive oil and a little bit of sea salt, and that will take a little bit of the bitterness out. Most of us have really lost that taste for bitter, but we have to remember that that taste, you know, is really helpful for the liver.
Yeah, great suggestions. Yeah. Those are all really great foods. Well, thank you so much, Beth, for your information today. Really appreciate it. I think it's an important topic for us to be talking about, detoxification, and help break it down for people. And I think it's you've given some great information about daily detoxification tips, as well as thinking about when it might be time to do a cleanse program. For some people, that can be really important.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I mean, I'm really fascinated by the subject of detoxification, and I'm always trying to find the latest studies and support, because I just think that in this world, you know, it needs to be more of an important focus, simply because it affects, you know, our energy and all of our systems and even our ability to lose weight. So I just think, you know, it's just a very, very important topic. And I thank you so much for having me on. It's been an honor. And I hope it's helpful to your audience.
Great. Thank you, Beth. Goodbye.
Thank you, Dr. Kate.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Beth Gillespie. To learn more about Beth, you can visit my website, drtrevorkates.com. Go to the podcast page with her interview and you'll see the information all there. And while you're there, you can subscribe to the Spa Doctor podcast on my website or on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. Thank you, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day.